Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. Here with us today, we have Deanna from New Jersey. Deanna, welcome. Why don't you start by telling us what kind of got you into the homeschooling world?
Yeah, so I never in my entire life ever thought I would homeschool my kids. It is just not something I had a desire to do. I, in my life, have known people who homeschooled their children and thought that they were insane. Yeah. And that it was the craziest thing, and why would you want to do this? And I have to admit, I probably had like some of the prejudices mm-hmm. that like a lot of people who grew up in the 90s, I'm 44, so I grew up in the 90s, and you know, there was those prejudices like homeschool kids are weird.
Of course.
They walk around wearing long dresses and I don't know. So I had a lot of those prejudices. And also, I love my freedom. I run a business. I'm very, very blessed to run a very successful business that keeps me incredibly busy. So when my youngest daughter finally got into kindergarten and it was a full day program, it was, I don't know, maybe the happiest I had been since like I got married or something. Like I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Like for so long, for so many years, I've been a full-time caretaker, and I finally, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., can, like, just focus on my work. So COVID happened when, and sorry, I keep playing with my hair. I do jujitsu. My hair is constantly breaking. I have crazy hair, and there's nothing I can do to make it better.
No worries. Well, how many kids do you have to start out with?
Yeah, I have three children.
Three, okay.
My oldest, so all their current ages, my oldest is a freshman, 14 years old. My middle daughter is 13 in seventh grade. And my youngest is 9 in third grade.
Okay.
So COVID hit when my youngest was in kindergarten and my kids were, I don't know, like middle school age, like fifth grade, seventh grade. I don't know. It doesn't matter. My kindergartner, she never even got like a full year of traditional school
right.
because we're in New Jersey. So I know your listeners are probably all over the place. But New Jersey, for some reason, no one ever spoke about us on the news. But in regards to New Jersey's handling of COVID on many, many fronts, whether you agree with it or not, like I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. But on many, many fronts, New Jersey was actually the strictest in the entire country.
Really?
Like our handling of COVID, if you ever were to look it up, we actually rated, out of 50 states, we rated 51 as the strictest because they took into account Puerto Rico. So for some reason, no one ever talked about New Jersey, but it was hard. It was very, very hard for very, very long.
What governor did you have at the time?
We have Governor Phil Murphy.
Okay.
He's still our governor.
Okay.
He, again, like, I'm not saying whether his politics are right or his politics are wrong, but he's very much in line with Gavin Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
We just have, like, a smaller state, so I think people don't talk to us. So, like, if you're curious about his politics, most people know Gavin Newsom.
Right.
So, like, if you look to him, you'll understand about New Jersey.
Yeah, and we had Cuomo
smaller.
Here in New York at the time,
yes.
which was also pretty
yes.
strict. But I didn't know that New Jersey was stricter.
New Jersey was stricter than New York in many, many circumstances. But we don't have Broadway, right? So people don't talk about us. So when my daughters, so everybody in New Jersey, when COVID hit, it would hit in March, and they just didn't go back to school the next year, right? Like they just stayed virtual. And then the following year was masking. When they opened up, it was the full year of masking. I sent my children to school. And again, this isn't saying whether you should mask your children or you shouldn't mask your children. our experience with masking was very, very poor. They had headaches all day. They broke out in rashes. And what kind of sealed the deal for me was my youngest daughter, who is now in first grade. And I, as a mother, I felt really, really terrible for not realizing this. She told me towards the end of the school year, she goes, "Mommy, I always have that funny feeling in my stomach, like when you're doing something wrong, but you don't want to get caught." And it was because she told me, like, the only way you were allowed to take your mask off was if you were drinking a sip of water. So she said she would just always be holding her water bottle in her hand so that when her teacher looked at her, she would take a sip of water. And I realized, oh my gosh, my six-year-old is struggling with anxiety 8 hours a day that's making her physically ill.
Yeah.
And she feels guilty because she wants to breathe.
Right.
And I'm like...
And what's it teaching her? Like, they... Because there's no logical reason that it's okay when you drink, you know, that you're spreading something. You can't spread it when you're drinking or, you know, sitting at a table, but walking to the table. Right. So it's like, what are we teaching them? As long as you, quote unquote, follow the rules or make it seem like you follow the rules, it's okay, even if it's not logical. And even if you're not really following the rules, because it's okay sometimes to break them. And it's like, we're training them to.
Yeah, that's what I was so concerned about, because we're like, honesty and truth in our family is very, very important. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, everybody has white lies sometimes. Like, as far as our family is concerned, no. A lie is a lie, and you're always truthful no matter what. And very fortunate, my children really internalized that. And my youngest daughter was so young and so pure and so innocent. And it really upset me that she was learning how to lie and get away with it. And then also... Again, this isn't to say whether it's right or it's wrong, but there's a lot of things in New Jersey they're introducing. And this isn't just the whole sex ed stuff. I know that's a huge controversy, so I'm not limiting to that. I'm just saying, in general, across the board, there's many, many things that in New Jersey they're introducing that personally as a family we don't agree with. I completely understand. I'm a person. I can't impose my will on everybody. So, you know, I would go to board meetings. I would talk. I would express my concerns. It was very, very frustrating because at the Board of Ed meetings, everybody seemed to have the same concerns. And everybody was like, if you do this again, specifically regarding COVID, and if you implement masks again, and if you do this again, none of us are sending our kids to school. Like, we can see it. We can see how this is harmful to their physical and mental well-being. Like, everybody was on board for that. So now, in New Jersey, it was supposed to be, the masking was going to be lifted. It was a year of masks. We've come through it. We've fought it together, and masks is going to be released. And then, in our state, 2 weeks before school started, our governor said, "Just kidding. Now the science says you have to be masked." And then he went on a two-week vacation to his villa in Italy. So nobody could even ask him about it. So now I'm like, oh my gosh, school's starting in 2 weeks. What do I do? Like, this is like a really, really big conundrum for me because I have a job. I don't enjoy teaching. It's not... I didn't become a teacher because I don't want to be a teacher.
Yep.
So it was really difficult for us. So my husband and I, we had conversations with our school superintendent, and he's a wonderful man. He was very understanding. He spoke to us a lot. And we even said, like, what happens? Like, he said, because we get it. We understand. 50% of the world wanted you to mask forever. 50% of the world never wanted to mask ever, right? Like, so it's fine. You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. Our superintendent, we're like, what happens? What happens if our kids show up the first day of school with no mask? Like, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but your children will be put in the main office and they'll just sit there till you come get them.
Wow.
So we're like, we made the official decision 2 days before school started that I am now a homeschool parent of three kids ranging from grades 1, 4, and 6.
Wow. Boop. And how did they feel about that? Did they want to go to school and see their friends, or were they like, thank God I don't have to deal with this masking thing?
So my oldest daughter, the one who is going into sixth grade, was excited about it. She actually, we learned through the virtual learning that happened through the New Jersey Public Education. And then furthermore, like via homeschooling, we learned that she thrives in an alternate learning environment. And she's like, you know how some girls are cool and they fit into the vibes and the trends and they love all that. And then some girls, you know, dance to a beat of their own drum. That's my daughter. She dances to a beat of her own drum. So she was like very excited to get out of that environment. My middle schooler said I was ruining her life and everybody was going to hate her because I was a Karen and that she wasn't going to get a good education and that I just suck.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Yeah, like she straight up pulled out the Karen card. She said, you're ruining my life. All my friends are going to tell me that my mom is a Karen. And I'm never going to come back
from
this.
So she was okay with masking. She was like, I'll take the mask if it means being in the mainstream here, have the mainstream life.
Yes.
Oh.
And then probably most heartbreaking, my youngest was thrilled to be home. And I'm not heartbroken that my youngest wanted to learn at home. But what was so sad is she loved school so much that when she found out, like, she was very, very little, so she didn't understand when schools closed down, that they were closed down. So when she finally understood, she sat in her room and she cried for hours. So much, she was inconsolable. Her kindergarten teacher was so kind, she actually had a phone call with her. So I had a child who absolutely loved school and loved learning, and then experienced a year of masking and social distancing and came away with, like, I hate public education. I never want to go back again.
Yeah.
But it worked out, you know, so here I am now homeschooling three children. I thought it was going to be the worst experience of my life, and it wasn't.
Oh, good.
It just wasn't. It was so much easier than I thought, and there's so many different ways to do it. I didn't join a co-op. I didn't send my kids to private school. I didn't buy curriculum. You can, if you pay taxes, at least in New Jersey, and it's probably like this in other states, I just contacted the school and said, I'm still paying taxes. Can I borrow their textbooks? And they're like, here you go.
Wow.
So I just got all their school books. I followed along with the educational, like reading, writing, arithmetic. I followed along with their curriculum. So if I decided to send them back, they would hop right back in. And I was shocked to find out how easy it was. And it was a blessing in disguise because my oldest daughter, who has many talents, but struggles with like book learning, I caught her up. I felt terrible. She was probably like 4 grade levels behind in math.
Oh my goodness.
And I didn't know.
Teachers have never contacted you to say.
No. They had. Yeah. So she was always good. Like when she was very, very young, she would get like the extra help. And then it got so bad to the point that they started like pulling her out for in-school support. But I wasn't seeing her her level of expertise gaining. She was consistently scoring low. Mm-hmm. She was consistently getting poor grades. However, in her mind, she's like, I'm working so hard. And this school says, like, kids don't know if they're getting pulled out for extra help. But she knew she was getting pulled out for extra help. And she's like, look at me. I'm one of the dumb kids, and I still can't get good grades. So I stopped it because it wasn't helping her education-wise, but mentally she considered herself incapable and just a dumb kid. So... But what happened is in schools, I know that I heard you on the Sam Tripoli podcast. I know that your kids aren't like maybe getting graded yet, but you can do poor on your classwork, but it's not weighed that heavily. And if you get a bad grade in math, you can do corrections, bring it up to a C, and then she just kept getting like pushed along. So we were able to bring her back up to grade level. So that was like huge.
Wow. How long did that take?
It was painful. Oh my gosh. I was sorry.
I love your realness. I think that people will enjoy that.
Thank you. I would say it took me 2 months of reviewing like very, very basic things. So she was in seventh grade, so they were expected to do like variables and algebraic equations and stuff like that. And this little girl didn't even have like a concept of how to work with fractions. Like she was that far. So no wonder she felt bad about herself. And it made me feel awful that I didn't realize it was that bad. So it was probably 2 years of like, I'm sorry, 2 months of like, what is wrong with you? How many times can we do the same thing before you get it? But then she got it.
It's like one day. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was nice about it was this isn't to take anything away from public education. There was, from working so closely with my daughter, there was no environment that exists that if she didn't have one-to-one attention, taking as long as she needed on things she didn't get. And then there were certain things, like she's very, very artistic. She's actually, I'll get into what she's doing now, but she's very artistic. So stuff like geometry, which is nearly impossible for me, she would breeze through it faster than I could teach her. Yes. So just having that ability to take as much time as we needed on things she needed to and then breeze through things. And it was nice. Like it made her feel good about herself, right? Like when we started, she couldn't do anything. And then by the end of the year, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm caught up and I can do it and I'm not stupid.
Oh, that is such a beautiful story though. And you witnessing that. So if she were in school and someone was working with her on this, I mean, that's wonderful. But at the same time, you're getting to see this like blossoming of a human that you made go from a struggle to, you know, feeling accomplished. And how many other scenarios in her life, like, when something gets hard, she can be like, well, this might be like that time I was behind in math and, you know, my mom worked with me. And
the one thing even more so, and as a mom, I'm sure you've experienced this yourself. My daughter was pulled out for help and it didn't do anything. But I noticed that when I would be working with her and teaching her, I'd be like, do you get it? And she's like, yeah. And she could regurgitate just enough so that it like seemed like she got it. But I know my children, and I would look at her. I'm like, you don't understand this. And she would swear up and down. She's like, no, I get it. And I'm like, no, you don't. And that was like the difference. And I don't think there's a teacher in the world who would be able to do that because, like, you know, you have a connection with your kids. You know when they don't get something.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was vital.
And I mean, as much as teachers want to sit there and say, okay, well, I don't think you're getting it. Let's go. They don't have the time or resources to say, no, we need to keep going over it because I can tell there's something in your eye that's saying you don't have it 100%. Like they have standards that they need to meet. They have lessons, kids, that they all need to get moving. And it makes so much sense that, you know, they're just trying to keep their heads afloat, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't fault public education for not realizing she wasn't. I mean, honestly, like
it's a hard concept to think any kid is going to learn these very intricate things, like, you know, with variables and this and that. You can't teach 30 kids that and have it make sense to everybody in the same way. Everybody exactly. Like needs it a little bit differently. Even as an adult, if I were to sit in their classroom right now, even in like fourth or fifth grade, and they were to teach this to me, variables and this and that, I'm sure I wouldn't pick it all up. I'd be like, wait, let's go back that was, over again.
Like, that was, it was heartbreaking because I like most girls from New Jersey, I talk to my mom 100 times a day. I'm a stereotype. So I would be talking to my mom and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I feel so awful. If I was, my daughter's name is Holly. If I had to go and sit in a building for 8 hours a day while everybody else seemed to get something and there was nothing I could do to get it. And then every day, so she was in sixth grade, so 7 years because she went to kindergarten. So if for 7 years, 8 hours a day, every single day, I was just worn down and worn down and worn down. Where would I be right now? Mm-hmm. And this is what she experienced from 5 years old until now. Like, praise the Lord that she's okay. Like, I can't. And I just, I didn't know. I didn't know until she was home with me. Mm-hmm.
And how many times has that happened? And I'm even thinking of myself, things that I didn't know and my mother wouldn't have known to, you know.
How would she
it's
know?
Not like my mother or father sat with me to do homework or anything, but I kind of learned the system. Like, well, this is right. all I need to know to get by and, you know, work that way. How was it, though, teaching something that maybe you, like, did you do very well in math or did you have to kind of learn this stuff in order to teach her? Was that hard?
It's funny. I always thought I was a very poor math student. Math doesn't come easily to me. Math always, like, I had to work really, really hard. And this is something, it's funny, I tell people this all the time. People have this in their brain. They're like, oh, I could never teach math, right? Like, math is always, like, the boogeyman. Like, oh, I'm not a math person. I majored in English literature and philosophy, right? Like, I'm not a math person. But I tell everybody this. I'm like, think about it. If a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old is supposed to learn it and you're in your 30s or 40s, you can do what a 12-year-old can do. So, like, I feel like for whatever reason, people build, create, are given excuses, and they're very, very convenient excuses. I don't have the time to homeschool. I can't homeschool. I don't know how to homeschool. And then they don't. Right? So, like, I am a person who runs a very successful business, and I have many employees to manage. At any given time, I have, like, 200 active clients that I have to be, like, managing. I had 3 different kids, 3 wildly different age groups with wildly different abilities, and I did it. And I did it fine. And it wasn't that hard. So, like, you can do it, but you just have to be, like, right. Like, if this is what, if you don't want to do it, then who cares? You don't want to do it. Like, okay, who cares? But if it's, like, something you're considering doing, like, you can. You totally can. You just have to do it.
So how do you make that work with your business and doing the homeschool for 3 kids?
So what I would do is I adjusted my schedule. So I also, in addition to my business, I train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I do Jiu-Jitsu. That's actually how I learned about Sam Tripoli, because he's close with Eddie Bravo, and I train at 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and, like, I learned about him. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it was very cool. So I trained Jiu-Jitsu at the time, like, 4 to 5 times a week, and then I also cross train, like, weight training and stuff, just so I don't get injured. I do that, like, 3 times a week. And then with my business, I work lots of nights and weekends. So I just kind of, I would literally write down my day and I would, like, plan it out.
Did you love episode 21 with Lindsay from Treehouse Schoolhouse as much as I did? That is why I reached out to her after our interview and asked if my listeners could get a discount on her products. And she said yes. I just ordered my year-long Charlotte Mason and Waldorf-inspired seasonal nature study as I embark on my first year of homeschooling with my 5-year-old son. Lindsay's Treehouse Nature Study is a seasonal nature study curriculum designed with family-style learning in mind. It's a gentle guide meant to invite various ages to connect with each other and the world around them through living books, nature notebooking, hands-on crafts, and beauty subjects such as poetry, picture study, and folk songs from preschool through upper middle school. Things I wouldn't think to do on my own, and is easily used with multiple ages at the same time. It would be a great fit for your preschool or kindergartner's core curriculum or your whole family's home education morning time. It also provides supplemental work for your children's language arts through poetry, memorization, recitation, copywork, and notebooking. I myself grew up in the city, so I know practically nothing about nature. They did not teach me that in school, unfortunately. So I'm really excited to get to learn with my children about all the beauty that's right outside of our window. And Treehouse Schoolhouse has many more products to offer as well. Check out episode 21 for the details and let them know I sent you by using link treehouseschoolhouse.com/thehomeschoolhowtopodcast and use the code thehomeschoolhowtopodcast at the checkout so that you get 10% 10% off of your entire order. You can get the link and code in my show's description.
I'm like, okay, if I wake up between 5:30 and 6, I can check all my work email, take care of anything that's like super important, and do that. Then around 7:30, I'm going to rally the troops, get them breakfast, and then start plowing through the day. So my middle daughter, the one who said, everyone's going to think that you're a Karen and I'm the daughter of a Karen and you're ruining my life. She's brilliant. She's very, very smart. School comes very easily to her. So I would set her to task. I'm like, this is what you're working on. Go to it. When you come to something that's difficult, let me know. Then my youngest, you know, there's projects she can do. She could, you know, she could do little things on her own. And then my oldest daughter, who was like the biggest like struggle, I was like, okay, right, this is what we're going to work on right now. And we didn't do every single subject every single day, because if you're only teaching one child, it's so we would do two different subjects a day, Monday through Thursday, and we would have Fridays off because that's fun. Why not? We did math. So my oldest daughter struggles. So we did math every single day. She never had a day off of math because she needed that. So we would spend like 20, 25 minutes on math, some days longer, but I wouldn't push her to the point where she hated it. And then another subject that she likes, right? So I would work with her on math that she hated and then task her with something that was like more enjoyable, that was self-directed. Then I would go to my younger one who was already doing her task that she's very capable of doing on her own, and then be like, oh, everybody did math every day. Like, that was my thing, because I think math, if you don't do it, maybe it's because I struggle with math. And then we'd work on math with her, and she breezed through it. Again, I know that your listeners are all over the place. In New Jersey, we have Common Core math. I think everybody has Common Core math. It's like where you can't borrow, or, you know, you can't borrow the one or like carry it over. You have to do something cockamamie. So for her, I told her, hey, I'm going to teach you a magic trick. I'm going to teach you how to carry the one or borrow from the tens column. And she actually finished all of, because this is second grade now, she finished all of second grade in like a month and a half. And that was only doing math like 10 minutes a day, 3 to 4 times a week. Like, I mean, she zoomed through.
And that's doing it back the way we learned it.
Yes, it was. Well, because I was probably like most people who are interested in homeschooling and like, what does public education mean and what does it mean now? And like, I just learned how, again, obviously, like, I have a view, but if you like public education, I'm not saying you can't, but it's almost like I look at it like they're intentionally just making it difficult. Like, they're just making it harder, right? So I'm like, I'm just going to do it the easy way. So she zipped through it. And then my seventh grader, we would just, I didn't want her to hate me. She already hated me because we weren't going to school. So I just kept her on task. So I would say it probably took me to do 3 kids, 3 different grade levels. We probably would do school an hour and a half a day, Monday through Thursday, and have Fridays off. And that was adhering. Well, wow. Actually, my youngest, she ended up being like a grade level ahead just because we finished, my youngest, we finished it so fast. So yeah. So if you haven't, and I tell people who are like thinking about it, I'm like, think about it. If you have a couple of kids, I had 3 kids, so it was an hour and a half. So that's like a half an hour per kid. Like, if you had a kid who had a hard time, like, how much time would you spend with them helping them on homework? It'd probably be something like 25 minutes a day. So like, you could do all of your homeschooling in that same amount of time. So it's not hard to spend 25 wow. minutes a day with your kids.
And you're actually following your school's curriculum. You're not even going, you didn't go off and venture to find a new curriculum. You actually got the school books from the school, and it still only took you an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's easy because I don't have to, you know what it is? I don't have to teach 25 different learning styles. I have one child I'm teaching that mm-hmm. I knew them their whole lives, right? Like, I know my kids their whole lives. So I have one kid. Yeah. It's very, very easy for me to see like, oh, okay, we can breeze past this, or we need to spend more time. Yeah, and what was great about using the school's curriculum was my youngest daughter, like, I don't, deep in my soul, it pained me to pay even one penny more for any of their schooling because I'm already paying taxes for schooling. So, like, just because our governor randomly makes up rules, why do I have to spend more money? So I just, I just bought their books. And what was nice is there's, like, the little logins that the teachers give you. So I was able to go online and get she was in second grade. So I was able to get the third grade book. And we would just, like, work through third grade. So, yeah, I did not have to reinvent the wheel. The only thing, like, me personally, as a family, I chose not to go to delve into, you know, maybe some of the political things that I disagree with. We chose not to teach that because it's not like you need that to graduate high school. Like, that's very, like, state by state by state. So, so we chose not to teach non-academics.
Going back to what you were saying about them doing the Common Core for math, two questions. Do you think that they have this new way of doing math so that parents are unable to work with their children after school or fear homeschooling, that they're not going to understand this new way to do math? Or if the kids ask their parents for help, it looks kind of like your parents are dumb because they don't do math this way. You know, you can't go to your parents. They're kind of breaking that family unit down. Or is that just my conspiracy self?
No. Yes to that and more so. So I think at a very, very basic level, like, this is a great example. When I was in high school, I cheered, and every 2 years, Nike would come out with new sneakers. Yeah. So in order for your team to look the same, every 2 years, everybody would have to buy new sneakers. And it was a great way for Nike to make more money. Mm-hmm. So how do you, math is math, right? How do you get people to buy new books? Change math. So one, it's a way to get money. Two, if you're going to blindly follow your rulers or your leaders or whoever has control over you, how are you going to blindly follow them without questioning them? Well, if you think you're just too stupid to understand, you're like, okay, well, thank heavens they're smart people to run my life. So if you just look at math and you're in school and you're learning math and it seems impossibly difficult, by the time you get old enough to, like, see something that doesn't make sense, you're like, well, of course it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not smart enough to question the science because I don't get it. Parents are like, I've heard it so many times. I couldn't teach my kids math. I don't know how to do the new math. And I'm like, then don't do the new math. Like, then just don't do it. And it's funny because my sister is a principal and she said, well, you know, when you send them back to school, they're going to be behind because they're not going to know how to do, like, this new way of math. And I'm like, who cares? If they know how to do math and they get the right answer, then they know how to do math. I'm not going to have them think they're stupid or that math is hard because I'm coming up with some cockamamie way to make something easy, simple. So I think it's one, to make money. I think it's two, to make children feel like at a young age, they're probably not as smart as they are, so they don't need to question things that don't make sense. And then also it makes parents think they lack the ability that they do. Because think about it. If a third grader can do it, you're smarter than a third grader. You can do it, right? Like,
yeah. And that was my second question, was will your kids be able to pass, like, I don't know if you guys need standardized tests in order for them to graduate or if anything to graduate. Every state has kind of different rules around what they require of homeschoolers. I think in New York, it's you have to say at the beginning of the year what you're going to teach. And then every 3 months, every quarter, you send in what you did teach. I'm not sure if we have standardized tests. We may, but there are some states that have to take a standardized test. However, I believe you can pick what standardized test. So you probably could pick one where they're getting an answer, like, a ABCD. So however they came to that answer is not going to be part of the test. Just the right answer is the part of the test. So maybe I answered that question myself.
In regards to the standardized testing, so New Jersey, for some reason, is very homeschool friendly. I think it's just because it's so outrageously expensive. It just wasn't a thing people thought they could do until COVID happened and then people started working from home and they, like, experimented with different things. But, like, in regards to standardized testing, like, when I was a kid, they were the CATs, the CATs.
Yes.
And now it's something else. I can't remember what it is. So if you look at, so what's a standardized test, right? Like, you need to do something when you're in high school so that you can graduate in high school. And most states, like, No Child Left Behind. What does No Child Left Behind mean? It means we're going to push your kids through and they're going to get to high school. So it's not until you get to high school that you have to worry about, like, what do I need to do to graduate? And by the time you get to high school, you're not doing, like, Common Core. What's 10 plus 13? Like, you're just doing 10 plus 13. You're allowed to use calculators. So then you have the other standardized tests. Like, for everybody who grew up in the 80s and 90s, it was the CATs. When my kids take those tests, I don't know, maybe they shouldn't tell this. I tell them, like, I literally couldn't care less. Like, I could not care how you do on this test. All this test says is the school going to get more funding because you're doing good? Or is the school going to get less funding? I'm like, this test has nothing to do with you as a person. This test is so that the state of New Jersey can move money around. And I don't care. I don't care. I don't want you feeling badly about yourself because New Jersey has to figure out how to spend money. And we live where we are in New Jersey. It's like a big... It's like a little bit more rural and a little bit more agricultural. So I don't care what our tests are. We never get any support. So, like, I tell them, they're like, oh, mommy, it's standardized testing week. So the teachers say, like, we need to get a good rest. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, honestly, if you went down the line on your Scantron and just put in A's for everything, it literally affects you personally in no way, shape, or form. So I don't care.
I'm pretty sure I did just do designs on my, they might have been, I know I took CAT tests and also something called Iowa tests. I remember just making designs with the Scantron right. Bubbles.
So now maybe that's not the right thing, right? Maybe you have a child who loves feeling good about themselves because they score so high. And it could just be my oldest daughter very much struggles. And every time we would get the results back, she'd always want to see them. She'd always be below level. It would always make her feel bad about herself. And in the end of the day, it meant nothing. Mm-hmm. So, like...
Right. It's not like they don't graduate. I don't even know if that determines what kind of classes they're in the following year.
It literally only determines, like, backdoor stuff between the school and the state. Now, some schools look at how they do in the test and it determines their placement going into the other classes. But, like, if you have a brilliant child who does poorly on a standardized test and then is going to get input into remedial math, you call up the guidance counselor and be like, look at how she does in school. Look at her. Clearly she messed up. And the guidance counselors are like, oh, yeah, you're right. And besides, it makes us look really, really good if we have a ton of smart kids. So we're just going to put her in the smarty pants class.
Yeah, and it doesn't end there because in government with the civil service exams, it's the exact same way. You can have someone that works so hard, knows the job, and when their superior leaves, only people that got like the highest grade on the standardized test, which is a test that has nothing to do with that specific job, only the top three scores, so if you got three people with 100, anybody with 100 is eligible for that job. So they could be coming in from a completely different unit, worked on completely different things, and they get that job that the person underneath did qualified for because of what they knew, but didn't qualify for because they didn't do well on this standardized test that had nothing to do with the job that was probably taken 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, that's how the whole government across every state and federal is run. And that's why things are run so inefficiently, because you're never getting,
the best qualified person.
Right. When you train the next person for the job, because and openings can only come about once the person above has left. So if, you know, Betty's retiring, Betty can't train, you know, Susan underneath her for the job, because that would be the like promotional flow of it. No, they can't even post Betty's job until she's gone and used up all the time right. that she had saved up. And then they can post it and just go off of this list. And then you extrapolate that to every state and like federally, and you're like, oh, well, now it's clear why things are run so inefficiently. And they're also the people making the standardized tests for our children in schools.
Yeah, and I used to work at a Huntington Learning Center.
Okay.
And honestly, like all the kids that do great on the SATs, sure, I'm sure they're probably smart, but people aren't fools. They know it's a standardized test. They know you just need to study for the test. So, and you see it with civil service too. Like I have family members that are in it, and if they want to do good on the test, they'll get a practice test and study it and learn what they want. So by the time you get to high school, if you want to take your SATs or your LSATs to go to college, if that's the path that you want to go, you're just going to take those practice tests. Like if they're going to game the system off of meaningless tests, you can game it just as easily. You could go down to Barnes and Noble's and buy the stupid practice test.
Yeah, you're right about that. And again, it goes back to what are we teaching them with the masking? Like, okay, well, it doesn't really make sense, but if you learn how to game the system and hold a water bottle in your hand, then you'll be okay. You can still, you know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And it's okay when Gavin Newsom is out at an expensive restaurant mask-free with all of his rich political friends and they're all mask free. Well, that's okay. It's a, you know, it's kind of, they're just gaming the system in, you know, whatever way or not, or, you know, so it is.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah. What are, kids are learning this from so early on. So did your child who thought you were going to be a Karen to all of her friends, does she still feel that way? And did her friends think you were a Karen? Or were they jealous because they wanted to be done in an hour and a half and free on Fridays as well?
No. She did think I was a Karen. And her friends would tell her I was a Karen. And her friends left her for that year and didn't talk to her until she went back to school.
Hey, friends. Thank you for checking out this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you haven't already, please check out episode 24 with Connor Boyack, author of the Tuttle Twins book series. As you guys know, if you listen to me regularly, I have been reading those books well before I became a podcast host. I read them with my son. He just turned 5. Check out my link, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle. That's how they will know I sent you, so I can get a little bit of credit. And then you get credit when you put in promo code Cheryl40. That is CHERYL40. Get 40% off book series for ages 5 through 11. These books are so awesome because they talk about real life scenarios about democracy, government, our liberties, and our freedoms. Things that we are not taught in the school system. And of course, why would a school system run by the government tell us that the government might not be all great for us? So please check out thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle and use promo code Cheryl40. You can get the link and the code in my show's description.
So, okay, you go to school and you learn academics. You also go to school and you're experiencing more than just academics. You're experiencing social things. You're experiencing political points of views, right? Like socialization, that's the big thing. You can't homeschool your kids because they won't get socialized, and how will they be normal? So in my family, due to the nature of my husband's work, he wasn't able to stay home. And due to the nature of his work, he was constantly around people who were unmasked and did not care about his health. So our family experienced one person never being able to be around people wearing a mask who were doing all sorts of things to him. And if you believe the tests, we had COVID, you know, we're okay. So my daughter lived in a family that experienced you can go throughout life without wearing a mask and maybe you'll catch a cold, but guess what? 2 years ago, you could go out and you could catch a cold as well, right? Mm-hmm. So she knew logically this information. She understood the logic of it. So then when the government came out and said, just kidding, you don't have to wear masks anymore. Like, we just didn't understand. And now nobody has to wear masks. So I'm like, whoop, I'm going into Walmart without a mask. My daughter was mortified. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't need to wear it. And she's like, no, because in New Jersey, the federal government made the announcement and then it has to like trickle down, right? So I'm like, okay, I don't care that our stupid governor hasn't figured it out yet. Like, the federal government says I don't have to do this. So, like, bleh. So I go in, sister, and she's like, oh, my gosh, you have to wear a mask. I'm like, no, I don't. And she says, Mom, if my friends see you without a mask, they're going to hate me.
Oh, my God.
And that's when it hit me, because my middle daughter is a contrarian, and she's very, very, very strong-willed, and she has a lot of views that are, like, not popular right now. Like, maybe 50 years ago, her views were common sense, but, like, maybe today, they're not popular views, right? And she was never shy about sharing them. She's like, yeah, like, she was just a very confident, knowledgeable young woman who wasn't afraid to do what she thought was right, regardless of what people thought. So now she has been in the public school education system for not even a full year. An announcement went out that you don't have to wear masks. She, in her brain, didn't think you ever needed to wear masks, but she was paralyzed with a fear that she would lose, she would be socially rejected for not going through with a norm that she disagreed with morally. Yeah. And that was very, very telling to me. And it happened to my one child that I said, of all three of my kids, the one kid who will never go against her views just to be cool, that was the child who went against her views just to be cool. And we're a family that talks during dinner. We're a family that, hey, we've always talked about political things. Like, hey, you're going to school and you have friends with all different backgrounds and different views. When stuff like abortion comes up or stuff like this, like, how do you feel about that? Like, just how do you feel? Like, not right, not wrong. So we've always spoken to them. And even despite that they're so young, like, they've always had, like, a very good knowledge about it. And she was always so strong in what she thought was right. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my little strong girl who would never give in just to fit in, gave in just to fit in.
Yeah. And I think under normal circumstances, like, if it was our day growing up, she would have stuck. If that were her time to grow up, she would have stuck to her ground. But, I mean, I was just watching The High Wire yesterday, and they took the snippets of all of the social media and all of the news, what these news anchors on CNN and MSNBC and all the other ones were saying about just the vaccine and the unvaccinated, and they snipped it all together, and my jaw dropped. It was just constant 24/7 in their ear, in their face, and a bit of mind control too about that. So I totally understand what you're saying, and I think it is totally by design that, you know, that was their goal, was to shame kids into, and shame adults too. It's just kids are so much more impressionable. And obviously her friends showed her what they, you know, they dropped her the first time when she, you know, was getting homeschooled, and she finally got them back. Unfortunately, they don't sound like good friends. I hope they grow up and, you know, can kind of stand a little bit more ground. I mean, you just easily have to look at it this way. Cigarettes, alcohol, they kill people too. Why are they still on the market? Obviously, the government doesn't care that much about our health. If the government cared that much about our health, there would be no McDonald's, there would be no alcohol, there would be no cigarettes, you know. So the fact that these cars would not be made to go 200 miles an hour, every car would shut off at 40, you know. So But I think that sometimes we assume that our kids know on a level that we know, and, you know, we really have to dumb it down. Like, when my son played his first T-ball game, I'm like, are you going to get a home run? And he's like, yeah. I go, do you know what a home run is? He goes, no. I'm like, so, all right. Nobody's ever explained to you anything about a baseball game. Let's like talk about it. You know, we just assume that they know because they've been on this planet, but they've only been on it for a couple years and they only know what we tell them, to, you know, and what a few people around them tell them. So, you know, I feel so bad for kids growing up in this environment and how she, you know, must feel she knows in her mind that this is, you know, one way, but yet she doesn't want to be shunned. Yes, and ostracized from her friends. I feel bad for kids today. It's hard. So she is back in school. So you have three different kids that are on three different tracks right now, right?
Yeah. So she, so New Jersey went virtual for an entire year. And my middle daughter, the one who said I was a Karen, she's a social butterfly, and she's a cool girl. I was never cool. I was never cool. I was a big, huge dork. People told me how ugly I was. Like, whatever. Who cares? Blah, 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 blah. It made me who I am today. But, like, I never experienced, like, if somebody told me you can't go to school, I'm like, oh, no, people can't call me ugly anymore. Meh. So I never experienced that. But, like, she did. She's cool. She's popular. She has friends. So doing the virtual learning, it brought her very low. Like, it brought her low. Like, low to the point that I was, like, really paying close attention to her. So I gave her the option. Well, actually, so New Jersey lifted masking, right? The last 2 months of school, they had lifted masking for that next year. I sent all three kids in my back to school. I was over the moon. I'm like, oh, thank God. Okay. I did it. I did my part. I stuck to my guns. I'm sending them all back to school. They went back to school for 2 months, and it was different. And I don't know, maybe it was my naivete. I think a lot of people's eyes were opened when COVID happened and the world was shut down and you had nothing to do but to look into it. And maybe my naivete said, like, oh, hooray, it's going to go back to 2018 and everything is like hunky-dory. But it is my kids, except for the middle schooler, no longer like school. Like, they hated it. And also, I had learned so many things that I couldn't unlearn. So the combination of all of that, I took them all out of school, except for the one child who I thought I would rather have many, many meaningful conversations to, like, keep a check on what she's learning and what she believes and keep her mentally in line, mm-hmm. like, with that, rather than just pull her out, because I thought, like, mentally it wouldn't be good for her. But then my oldest daughter, who's now a freshman, I enrolled her in an online high school, and she attends the local polytech for art. She's the most talented child when it comes to art. So she does an online high school, and she attends a polytech for art. My youngest daughter, she just stayed homeschooled. We're still homeschooling. We finished for the year. And then it's associated with my church. I'm a Christian, so it's associated with my church. It's technically a co-op. It's 3 days a week, and you can send them there, and it's like a traditional classroom type setting. But what's nice about it is what they're learning. It is, so again, I'm a Christian, so the fact that it's has Christian overtones through it, that doesn't bother me, because that fits in line with what we're looking for. Although I would never want somebody overtly teaching my child any religion, because I feel like you need to learn it for yourself. So she's going to go to that 3 days a week, and two of the days of the week, she's still home with us. So that's what we decided to do for her next year, just because she's very happy being at home, and she did maintain a friendship with some of her friends from school. But I just felt bad because I noticed her friendships dropping off. And while she does play with her sisters are older than us. So I did want her to have, like, that experience mm-hmm. of having school-age friends that were local. I mentioned jiu-jitsu. My whole family trains jiu-jitsu, but it's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Technically Bethlehem. So it's, like, 35 minutes away. So her little friends from there aren't friends that can come over after school.
Okay.
So she'll still be home with me 2 days and go to, like, this co-op 3 days a week. And I ask my middle school daughter, I ask her all the time. I'm like, I'll pull you out today. you don't, tomorrow you can sleep in. I go so bad. I make it like entertaining. I'm like, you can sleep until 9. Like, I don't care. I try to bribe her not to go to public school, but it's so important. And I don't want to like, I don't want to, under the guise of doing something for her best wish, best interests, like actually be fulfilling my best interests,
yeah,
and do something that's harmful, right, to her. And I think it would be. So we just have like many, many, many conversations, like intelligent conversations about where she's going and, you know, like little things like she's got different friends. And, you know, some of her friends are like really good people, amazing families. So like maybe those friends, I just try to make it really, really easy for her to hang out with them. I'm like, want me to pick her up? You guys can go for ice cream. Like, I will make it as easy as you want to, like, you know, hang out with a good crowd,
yeah,
which is what our parents always did to us.
Yeah.
Our parents always said, like, my parents always told us, if you're hanging out with the wrong people, when the cops come, they arrest you all and they figure it out later. So like, I don't think there's anything wrong with like wanting your kids to hang out in a good, yeah, good group of kids.
Definitely. That's so funny. If you hang out with the wrong kids, you all get arrested. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, that's
that.
My parents would tell me all the time.
Like, they'll, no, I think, yeah, and I think that can resonate with a lot of parents too. Now, I wonder if your middle daughter had been homeschooled since the very beginning and didn't know any different, maybe she would feel differently about homeschool. But that's not how life unfolded for her. And there is some reason that she's there. And that's, and, you know, as long as you keep the lines of communication open, I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with that. Not that, yeah, you care what I think, but I can see parents saying, like, you know, their mental health is better in an environment with kids in school and having that regimented, you know, day and year. That makes total sense to me. I think parents, like you said, you want to make sure you're doing what's best for them and not what's best for you. And, you know, we can, that's hard because I'm thinking about like my son. Okay, well, I want him to be homeschooled. But then again, how would he know if he, once he gets to middle school? I mean, I guess those are just conversations and experiences that you have. And, you know, you make it fun for them. We all just do what we can. But,
well, the thing that people, I don't think people realize this, is it's not like saying you're going to homeschool is a lifelong commitment.
Yeah.
If you're saying you're going to homeschool, you could say in September you're going to homeschool and change your mind in January, mm-hmm, and then change your mind again the next September. It's not like if you're a homeschooling parent, that's it. This is your life now. Like, you could be a homeschooling parent for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. You can constantly reevaluate. Like my youngest, I think when we originally spoke via email, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my daughter. She'll probably never go back. And as time progressed, my husband and I spoke and we're like, we really think like we want her to have like those childhood friendships. So we chose not to go to public school. Although we were thinking about it, like you're always thinking about what's the right thing to, mm-hmm, do. So we decided that we were going to enroll her in this school. And like we talked about it and we're like, you know what? If we hate it, who cares? Like if we hate it and she hates it, we'll unenroll her. Mm-hmm. Like,
and so it's not a life. So that's a co-op. I know around here, a lot of the co-ops are like parents are the ones involved. So you pick something that you teach and your kid may or may not be in your class. This sounds like something more. Do you have to pay for this? Is it?
Yeah. So this is, so probably in most states, if you're a school, there is a lot of stuff that goes with being a school. So much stuff that goes with being a school. However, if you're a co-op, you're a homeschooler and it's footloose and fancy free. So this is a co-op and there is a fee for it. It's, I wish it was cheaper. But yeah, and it is done by volunteers who teach it. A lot of the volunteers have tremendous experience, are really good. People are very, very happy with it. So this would be described better as a private school, but it's a co-op, mm-hmm, because then you don't, it's actually, the church that we belong to used to have a private school, which went under in COVID and was never able to come back. And then this, they literally are in the same spot with a lot of the same teachers, but it's not a private school. It's a co-op.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool, especially as I think about the future. My kids are so young that we could, if we could start anything, you know, if we wanted to. And that's why I love hearing all these different ideas. And there's every person I talk to seems to have a different way that something's working for them. And it's like, all right, yeah, we could start that here. And you know, I've also liked the idea of starting like a little homestead, and because, you know, I want my kids to have close friendships too. I mean, I'm sure everybody does. And there's so many different ways you can homeschool and still go do, you know, sports or whatever, co-ops, well, yeah, that sort of thing too. Church groups.
My kids go to youth group. My older kids go to youth group. But I think I read this one time and it was just a stupid meme, but it was like, I don't know why it resonated with me so much, probably because I had all those prejudices from growing up that homeschool kids are weirdos. And when you talked a little bit about, like, it's almost like mind control. Every single person, when I said I'm going to homeschool, like my own mother, who doesn't like public education, they need it for socialization. It's almost like they regurgitate it out of their mouth. The second you say homeschool, they need socialization. They need social. And then you stop and you think about it. And it's like, one, super weird that everybody regurgitates the exact same phrase. And then two, somebody said, like, yeah, I said I'm homeschooling my kids, Karen. I'm not hiding them under a rock. And it's like, and it was so obvious, like, yeah, of course they can still socialize. Why can't they still be in sports and have friends and do all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was one of those things, like.
It's like, yeah, that there's little this little bit, and it's all the news stations across all the, you know, the what we think, all the different channels, and they're like, it is a threat to our democracy, but it's like 100 different anchors using this exact wording that it's just kind of, it's regurgitated because you hear it so often, and subliminal messaging will tell you that that's the two correlate, but no, they don't, especially when they go to school and they're supposed to sit there and not talk, you know, sit, be quiet, learn what I'm teaching you. And then you may or may not get to talk at lunch and recess. I mean, I don't know. The COVID thing like changed all the rules. So I don't even know if they're like wearing bags over their heads now, but no, I'm kidding.
It makes you appreciate the Pink Floyd song. Like, hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. Yeah. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
And you know, there's so many of those songs out. And I always wonder, like, are those artists still backing that up, or are they the ones that are like, you need to put your mask on and get your 18 boosters? Because I know a lot of them, you know, flipped the tune when funding got, you know, behind. But I'm like, where are all those people from the 60s that were like protesting against the government? They're not around anymore.
Yeah, like how Rage Against the Machine is now Rage for the Machine.
Yes. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Okay, so we're running up on the hour. Was there anything else that you like wanted to make sure that you talked about or got in while we have you here? And I can always have you back too, because I think people are just gonna love your energy and your like unfiltered way of saying things, and you know, just the raw, like, tell us how it is, but also how easy it can be. Like, it doesn't have to be this like, okay, let's look through 18,000 curriculums to find the best one. And it's like, no, you pay taxes, go get your school's work. Don't do the things that you don't want to do, and teach them the way that you know how to do it. I think that are gonna love hearing that.
Really, like, the big thing is you can do it. If a 10-year-old can understand it, you can understand it. And it is way easier than you think. You just have to do it. And if you decide to do it and you hate it, you don't have to do it anymore. Like, it's honestly that simple. If you have a conviction, have the courage of your convictions.
That's wonderful. Applause for that one. No, that is, especially in a time where, like you were saying before, there's some things that now you know them, you can't unknow them. So stand your ground, see what it can do. And I'm like talking to myself here, like, see what you can do. If you hate it, you can always go back to work and, you know, send your kids off to school, private school, public school, whatever tickles your fancy at that time. And that's the fun part, I guess, about, you know, parenting, where we can, like, take the pressure off a little bit. You can make a mistake. It's all learning experience.
You don't have to be perfect. Yeah. You don't have to be perfect. You can try things. If you hate them, don't do them anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they're your children. Nobody knows your children as much as you do. Nobody loves your children as much as you love your children. And nobody is going to protect your children as much as you're going to protect your children. So it's like, I have friends who are like, yep, we're going to do it too. We're going to homeschool. And they decide not to. And I'm like, super cool. You did the right thing for you. And then they're like, just kidding. We are going to homeschool. I'm like, super cool. You did the right thing for you. And they're like, just kidding. We're sending them to private school. Like, awesome. Like, just do what you think is right.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to do what you think is right.
Yeah. And then, like you did, you saw with your middle child that that maybe just wasn't working. And that's why you made the decisions that you do. You kind of see what fits for your kid. And yeah, there will be things that they miss out on either way, no matter what you do, because your kid can't be public school, private school, and homeschooled all in the same time in the same year for all 12 years. Like, they can't. You have to pick one at a time. So you just see what works and what works for you as a family and what works for your kids. I love that message. I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Deanna, I can't thank you enough for being here today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure. It was so, just to say, like, side note, I heard you on a podcast. Depending on how your viewers go, they may or may not appreciate that podcast. It deeply resonated with me. I met him as well, and I'm like, I'm going to talk to him, and I did, and I, like, DM'd him, and he DM'd me back. I was like, oh my gosh. But it's, I just have to say, hearing you on, like, somebody who, he's a funny person to,
yeah,
like, admire.
Yeah, you
right?
Say Sam Tripoli. I don't think anyone minds. Yeah. I think I've talked about
yeah,
it before.
Yeah, so I just have to say, super cool hearing you, aww, like, on a famous podcast, and then talking to you. So thank
it's
you.
So
thank
funny, because I was on a, I did a podcast the other day. A guy invited me on his show, and he goes, oh my God, I'm geeking out right now, because I'm one person away from Sam Tripoli. And I'm like, you could just do what I did. Just message him and get on the show.
Yeah, it's funny. I did, and it didn't work out. I was never in it. But yeah, I did the same thing. It was just like a normal person. But yeah, I should just say, talking to you, like, it's very, very cool. Like, I'm very, very honored to have the opportunity. So thank you.
Oh, I'm honored to hear about your homeschooling experience with everything that you've dealt with the last few years.
When you're making your own decisions and you seem to be going against the grain, it could be terrifying. But, like, so what? Who cares? So people think you're weird. I'm weird. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we grow up and then we're all weird in our own way anyways. Well, thank you, Deanna. This has been a pleasure. I hope we get to talk again.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.